The following piece contains information about death, dying, and grief. In 2013, we lost Mum. The doctor tells us she has between 3 and 9 months to live. After a bit, he leaves and Dad follows, asking more questions. My sister goes out into the corridor to be with her 5-year-old. I stay in the room, holding Mum's hand, readying for the worst. Only 3 months. Mum starts crying. The only time I see her cry. I can't wait so long, she says. It's too much pain. Why won't they let people die when they want? Sometime after Mum's terminal prognosis, I don't remember exactly how long, she asked Dad to ask me to research what happens when a person stops eating and how long it takes for them to die. She was gone 5 weeks later. On November 21, 2017, the Victorian State Parliament Upper House passed the Voluntary Assisted Dying Bill. In this debate, many of the people against voluntary assisted dying ask, how will this impact on how we see value in life? I ask, how will such changes impact on how we see dignity in death? For a bit more information, I went to Joss Hall, the president of Dying with Dignity Queensland. I started by asking what a dignified death is, and can we have such a thing?
Dying with Dignity would like to see people dying at a time and place of their choosing. None of us like to think about it, but we're all going to die at one time. Some people have a very easy death, others have a horrendous death. Palliative care is excellent, but palliative care does not manage all the symptoms of someone who's dying, and some people prefer not to go through that end stage. I see palliative care as something that the majority of people will have access to, and one of the conditions of the Victorian bill getting support was an increase in palliative care, particularly in regional, rural or remote areas where many people die without access to that. There needs to be a choice of someone who is perhaps in the palliative care system saying, well, I really want to end it, and having that option to do so with the assistance of a physician to make sure that nothing goes wrong and in the company of their family and friends and loved ones.
Our health systems, quite rightly, focus on diagnosis and treatment. But I wanted to know what happens when we or someone we love is dying and they enter our health system as a terminal patient.
What we might encounter in the health system now can be very varied. It can be extremely unpleasant with all the things that we hear about of people lying in bed, having nappies changed, dying often of dehydration because when someone's no longer capable of eating or drinking, they're hydrated for a period of time, but after that, the time comes where they possibly are not. It's not a pleasant way for anyone to die. My mother died recently, and I think that hers was probably, if not the best death, then one of the best deaths that I have ever seen. And as a nurse of 48 years, I've seen a lot of people die. My mother refused her medications. She asked that she be kept pain-free. She was given analgesics by injection, and she was completely pain-free until she lapsed into semi-consciousness and then unconsciousness. That was the way we should all be allowed to die. It doesn't happen for everyone, though.
In 1995, the Northern Territory passed the Rights of the Terminally Ill Act, but that was repealed by the federal government. A week before the Victorian legislation passed, New South Wales rejected a similar bill. Given this resistance, I wanted to know if the Victorian legislation will have a broader impact.
The majority of people who would like to have access to voluntary euthanasia do not actually follow through with it, but the comfort that it gives them of knowing that it is there and potentially available to them should they choose to make use of it, actually stops people from suiciding, which is what's happening now. It's kept very quiet, but it is of people who have terminal illnesses. People are suiciding in quite horrendous manners. They're usually discovered by a family member. No one should have to think that they may need to resort to that to end their suffering.
Similar laws have been enacted for some time now, about 30 years, in places such as the Netherlands, Belgium, Luxembourg, Colombia, Canada, and some US states. The data shows that the numbers of patients using assisted dying laws vary, somewhere between 0.3% and 4.6%.
People who are accessing physician-assisted death in other countries, these are people who are going to die anyway. The fact that it's available has generally meant that people who are planning on ending their lives don't do so. It has tended to reduce people who are suiciding in often violent manners. The death rate has not gone up, according to evidence overseas.
In the Netherlands in 2015, 5,516 deaths were due to voluntary assisted dying, compared to 12,000 deaths from the effects of dementia, about 42,000 from cancer, that's 30%, 9,000 from heart attack, and about 38,000 from cardiovascular disease, that's 27%. The main motivations for people to access voluntary assisted dying are loss of autonomy and dignity, being less able to enjoy life's activities, and intolerable pain. I asked Joss why she is an advocate of voluntary assisted dying.
Two reasons. In 1980, my father died of liver cancer that had spread everywhere. He spent the last few days of his life vomiting feces. That's something no one ever, ever, ever forgets. Also, as I mentioned, I've been a nurse for 48 years. I've seen many people die in a way that I would not want to die myself, and I would not want any of my family and people that I care about to die that way.
That was Joss Hall, president of Dying with Dignity Queensland. If anything in this interview has impacted you in any way and you wish to speak with someone, please call Lifeline on 13 11 14 or go to lifeline.org.au where you can access the crisis support online chat. For more information about voluntary assisted dying, go to www.dwdq.org.au, that's Dying with Dignity Queensland, or you can listen to Andrew Denton's podcast, Better Off Dead, at the Wheeler Centre website, www.wheelercentre.com. All this information will be available on our website. You're listening to 4ZZZ 102.1 FM.